Hi there.
Hey.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
It's very exciting. Great to be back with you all. At the time of this recording, it's very early in the morning because I was really inspired to come on here and talk about purpose. I think purpose is a thing that a lot of people want or ever a lot of people strive for, like, oh, I want to live a purpose-driven life, or I want to create meaning and deep resonance for the things that I'm doing. And I found in my life that there's a pretty simple astrological formula that you can use to actually narrow down what you're doing and your motivations so that you can actually create that purpose-driven life. And so I'm here to share that with you all today.
I feel purpose equates, having purpose equates feeling like you have meaning, value.
Mm.
I think a lot of people definitely can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when we don't have a purpose, or we're not fulfilling a purpose, which is a big one. We're not fulfilling a purpose, which means our lives don't embody purposeful actions.
Mm.
It definitely feels like there's a void, like there's something we should be doing. It's like having an itch that we want to scratch,
yeah,
but we don't know where it is,
yeah,
you know? But yeah, looking forward to hearing your insights about, you know, finding and living in that purpose via the stars.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so before we get into there, you had read this book called Purpose Driven Life, right? Like,
yeah,
a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Can you refresh me on the premise of that? What that was about?
Yeah, the Purpose Driven Life. It was a book that was, it was religious.
Okay.
Around Christianity.
Okay.
But it's the whole idea behind it, regardless of religion or not. For those who are on either side of the fence, its main idea, theme, and ethos was basically bringing your life to a point to where you kind of declutter and you have focus,
mm-hmm,
and you have reason to why you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And each chapter was geared at helping you kind of hone in and remove the things that generally we can get caught up on,
mm-hmm,
in our day to day. And in that process of removing the clutter and kind of seeing what matters, understanding what really matters, it helps you focus on doing things that actually bring value, make you feel like you're in your purpose. And it was cool. It definitely helped me a lot. And, you know, made me feel like I had value.
That's great.
That's the general idea.
Thank you for running us through that and reminding me of that. You know, that wasn't just metaphorical, right? You literally physically cleaned, right? You physically decluttered and got,
yes,
you know, space in your life to,
yes,
be able to examine your actions, your relationships, and the significant interactions in your life to be able to say, is this making me feel like I am fulfilling a purpose or not?
Yeah, I was generally a very, as a very young person, I think I was probably 16 or something like,
mm-hmm,
that. But yeah, I was generally really not very tidy. And, you know,
I mean, 16-year-old boys,
yeah,
questionable on the tidiness.
I would take things out and forget where to put them back or forget they existed altogether. But, you know, when I was going through this phase of, mm-hmm, finding purpose for myself, my room was immaculate all the time. My parents had no idea. They're like, what's going on with this guy? Like, this is different.
Yeah.
I made time for myself. I stopped playing video games. I was a little 16-year-old gamer at the time. And, you know, I just started just focusing on what really mattered. And it was really easy to manage my life.
Interesting.
Granted, as an adult compared to at 16, there's a lot more to manage.
Yeah.
But the thing is
bills.
The practice of decluttering, the practice of getting to a space where I can have peace, even at an early time in my life, it did work, and it was wonderful. It was euphoric, just peace filled, and not stress-free, I guess, you know.
I love that. I love that for the little boy you were, and I love that for the...
He's still here.
...grown man that you are now, because I'm like, you still are a very peaceful individual, and still very organized and clear about what your purpose is, what you want to spend time on.
Yeah.
And for all those listening... you know, bring you all into the fold in an astrological sense, right, as opposed to a religious approach to finding purpose, we're going to review the top four houses that help to focus this energy and kind of do what you said, which is to declutter mentally, physically, emotionally, and bring one into alignment with the purpose that is written in your chart, is written in the stars, I believe. And so let's get into that. So the houses of interest are the second house, the fifth house, the eighth house, and the 11th house. Traditionally, these houses are home to all the signs on the fixed cross. So in order from that would mean the second house is affiliated with Taurus traditionally. The fifth house is affiliated with Leo, the eighth house with Scorpio, and the 11th house with Aquarius. So what's significant about the fixed cross houses or the fixed cross signs? But in this case, we're talking about houses. What's significant about them is that it doesn't take you very much to keep revisiting the thoughts, ideas, habits that an interest that you have in those signs, so or in those houses. And so it may take a little bit for you to get started, which is with all fixed energies. It may take a little bit of grinding of gears, a little bit of sweat equity to get going. But once you're going, it's really easy to maintain. Because why? It's the signature, it's the energy in your chart where you have the access to sustain. You have an inclination to want to sustain things. And so I'll give you an example, right? So I'm a Scorpio rising. My second house is, of course, my house of values. My second house is Sagittarius. Right? It does not take any effort for me to sustain my interest in learning, in higher education, in gaining lots of experiences, in travel, in all of the Sagittarian type of arenas. I have no problem at all valuing that, making whole hobbies out of that. I mean, this astrology... you could call it a business, you call it a brand, you call it a hobby, whatever you want to call it. This down earth astrology is a manifestation of that for me, where I'm just interested in learning different ways of looking at the world and moving through the world and access to different kinds of cultural pieces of wisdom. Sometimes it takes me a little bit to get into being open to learn. But as soon as I'm on a roll with it, I mean, I've gone down the rabbit hole of, the Sabian symbol astrology and the, moon phase astrology. And, I've done a little bit of a deep dive in the degree theory, all things that maybe are tangential to like down to earth astrology. It's kind of auxiliary to like the main purpose I believe of astrology, but they're nice to learn about. It's cool. Like I love it. And so, and for you, you know, as a Libra rising, your second house is Scorpio, is the traditional Scorpio house. And so, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of effort for you to be curious and interested and really about those things that are underneath the surface for people, those hidden motivations and understandings that people people exhibit. Mm-hmm. Because you're always curious about that for yourself. I mean, half the time you're existing, you're in your head analyzing what is going on underneath the surface.
It's true. Very true.
And it's not just because you're an introvert. You just that's what you value, you know, in your chart. And so for you all who are listening, I encourage you all to think about what is your second house? How can you look at your second house and say, oh yeah, it takes definitely no effort for me to be about whatever's in my second house and just go with it. The reason it's significant is because it will relate to your eighth house, right? The eighth house is traditionally the Scorpionic house, traditionally the house ruled by Pluto. And it has to do with how we benefit from other people's resources. Typically, what you value for yourself, you do it enough to then benefit other people, right? You love being fit, right? Like,
yeah.
You love working out.
Yeah.
You don't mind when I want to come work out with you. No, be like, hey, great. Have you tried these stretches? Maybe you should do upper body more. Yeah. You should think about, you know, approaching your workout this way or that way. Or you should think about doing a daily stretch with me. That's like a 30 or 45 minute stretch session.
Because I value it and its outcomes and the experiences it's given me. So I feel an innate tug to want to throw it. That on you and share it. Yeah.
Right.
Share is such a nice word.
Well, share.
Yeah. I'm like, do this.
Impose.
It's great. Yeah. I feel like I'm imposing sometimes. I feel so fervent about the value that you're going to get from it. Yes. Like there's no other option.
Because you have the evidence of the value that you've received from that activity. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's what the eighth house is, right? We end up getting fixated on the things that help heal us, help give us deep bonding with our own spiritual nature, deep emotional fulfillment. And we want to share that with other people. Yeah. And other people have the opportunity to benefit from our wisdom in that space, right? That's the eighth house. So that second eighth axis is really a very powerful one to help guide us and asking the questions, what do I like doing with my time? Oh, I actually value cooking. Oh, I actually value talking to people about video games. Oh, I actually value going birding, going on nature walks. Whatever it is for you, whatever the concepts are that you like to dwell on, that you like to think about, use that. And if you don't have any planets in those houses, right? So you have no planets in the second house, you have no planets in the eighth house in your birth chart. Who do you end up finding yourself around? And what do they value? Where are you most comfortable? If I have experienced this, you know, when I don't have any planets in a house and it's a significant house I need to pay attention to, that's going to help me have better insight on myself. I pay attention to the company I like to keep in revolving around that house. So who are your friends? What are they into? Who are your coworkers? What are they into? You know, we spend a lot of time working. Most people spend a lot of our lives working. What are you currently making a living off of, right? What are people willing to give you money or share resource with you in exchange for? These are the kind of questions that are going to help you zoom in on that second eighth house axis and get clear on what you value and get clear on what other people value from you. It could go dark as well, where other people like to take from you or you may like to take from other people. Pay attention to that. If you feel deprived in one way or another about anything, maybe you feel deprived of love, deprived of attention, deprived of respect. Maybe that's the very thing that you need to be delivering to yourself and that you need to develop a value set around for your second house. You know, if you are a
pause you right there real quick.
Sure, please.
I like what you said about developing a value set. I think that's really important. I feel those listening, that's something you really want to hone in on. Yes. You cannot provide any kind of service or value to anything or anyone before you actually try it on yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. Some of the most successful people in the world, whether it's via sports or via, you know, entrepreneurship or inventions or whatever, they took a lot of time to actually vet what they were looking to offer the world. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in that space, there is a lot of failure. But the thing is when you come out, you become out knowing your value, knowing what you have to offer.
Yes.
Because you have tested it. You have vetted it. And just like with how, you know, we are with the gym, I'm never offering to give you a workout that I think is not worthy. I'm like, this is it. I've done it. I know it works well. I want you to also partake in that. And if you don't want that, it's okay because I'm still reaping the benefit.
Yeah.
And then people see that benefit and then they want it because what? You're doing well off. You are whole. You are full. You have you've developed the purpose within you. But I wanted to talk about that real quick. That was a really good thing that you said about developing in yourself first. A lot of people just get caught up on looking at letting the crowdsourcing be the vetting of whatever they're trying to do for themselves.
Yes.
If it's for you, you start with you. And so
I love that. It matters to you. I mean, it's a perfect segue to the next axis as well, which is the fifth axis and the 11th house axis. If you're doing something for you, like say working out, you're going to be talking about that, right? The fifth house is traditionally associated with Leo energy. So you're going to say, I had the best workout. It was so great. I'm really sore. I'm getting swole. You know, you're going to talk about those things.
Yeah.
And that's important, right? You're going to feel good now that, you know, your chest out here, filling out your shirts and you're just looking jacked, right? Like in your clothes, you're going to feel more confident because you get more definition in your legs, right?
Yeah.
You've been not skipping leg day. We're not going to be skipping leg day.
Let's skip leg day, boys, girls.
Gotta keep leg day in the rotation. Okay?
Yeah. It's important.
But yeah, you know, Leo energy, a lot of times, you know, people take fifth house Leo energy as, oh, well, you're a show off, or, oh, well, you're entitled, you're self-centered or anything. No, Leo energy is tasked with carrying the light of truth. If it's true that you're getting a lot of value from these habits that are sustaining a great quality of life for yourself, share that, be on about that. Bring the light will find you, even if you don't find it. You know, sometimes, I mean, you get this when we go out in public, you know, people defer, people get out of your way because you're swole. Mm-hmm. People, and I don't think they did that when you were skinny, right?
No. Like, no one saw me, but I look like a lot of work now. And I think that's something that's important too. It's like, you know, anything that anyone ever tries to do for themselves, don't ever worry about sharing that. Just keep doing it for yourself.
Yes.
Because people are going to see you and be like, they're doing something different, but it's working for them.
Yes.
You'll have a lot more people actually ask you about what you're doing. And then that is an invitation to explain. And that's usually the best circumstance to ever find yourself in, is when you are just doing the right thing where other people are curious about what you're doing. And then the abundance of wisdom and time and hard work that you put into developing your craft within yourself, you have that to share with a willing participant.
Yes, it's attraction, right? Instead of promotion, right? Mm-hmm. And then what happens is you have this curious person who is curious individual who then you can share your value with, and who then becomes eligible, right, for that eighth house category of benefiting from your experience and benefiting from the value that you've now created in abundance for yourself, right? And so the fifth house is critical in figuring out your purpose, because it's going to be the thing that you're talking about all the time. It's going to be the thing that you want to watch all the time, that you want to be entertained by, the thing that you feel confident in, that, you know, nobody can tell you anything about your swag about, right? Like, people have confidence and it exudes from them in their fifth house. So think about that. Look at your chart. Figure out where your fifth house is. Maybe your fifth house splits between two different signs. It's rare. It's not always common that people are born on the exact 0 degree mark of a rising sign. And so wherever your fifth house lands, look at yourself honestly and take inventory and say, have I been doing myself justice here? Have I actually been maybe a hater for around other people? You know, that to me is the origin of internet trolls. Okay. And people who are nuts in the comments sections of everything that's on the internet, they're over here and they're, well, they can dress like that. And, you know, they're bragging too much that they're this best athlete, or they think that their music is such hot stuff and they're not. And I'm like, oh, you feel insecure about what you've been doing, huh? Because you can't shine, huh? You need to figure out what makes you shine and what values you need to double down on so that you can come out to the world and radiate with like an aura of confidence and mastery. And then you'll be surprised, like you said, how many people will be curious or at least treat you differently because they can see that you take yourself seriously enough, your own value seriously enough to stand as a representation of them. And then the other part of that axis, right, is the 11th house, which is typically associated with Aquarian energy, which is the opposite of Leo energy, right? If Leo energy is radiating, telling stories, you know, creating the space for your ultimate expression, Aquarius is being able to do the very same thing for other people. And so, you know, the sun is in its detriment in Aquarius. Sun is away in Aquarius. And so what happens is you, as an embodying your 11th house energy, you have the opportunity to set other people up for success. You have the opportunity to make connections that other people, what, can't see, right? Because the sun is away here. You can do so much. You know, people think a lot of like Aquarian energy being like behind the scenes. It's not necessarily that they're behind the scenes. It's just that they're finding quirky, non-traditional ways of knitting together an infrastructure, a communications-based infrastructure, to put other people on. And so I know that has been a big space that I've spent a lot of time in my life, right, as a Scorpio rising. My 11th house is in Virgo. And so if we're using whole sign houses. And so I have done a host of work, incremental process improvement work in my career, to do what? Make other people center stage, to put other people on given their work and their values. I worked for a long time in the nonprofit mission-oriented space. And in that space, I did a lot of like re-granting work and program development, program management, where I was not the person who was, you know, lauded as, oh, Lily's doing all the things. No. But what I was doing was I was putting other people on to get their just due and support them through knitting together other kinds of structural resources. That's what Aquarius does, right? It's ruled by Saturn, co-ruled by Uranus, right? Creative structures, right? Creative infrastructure that's usually based on some ways of communication. And for you as a Libra rising, right, your 11th house is Leo. And so you are, you know, putting together infrastructure, right? Unique infrastructure for other people to tell their stories, right? For other people to shine, mm-hmm. for other people to come and be able to be in the spotlight, in the limelight, see themselves, right? See the truth about themselves and be celebrated.
Yeah.
And what a gift. What a gift that is. And so that is, to me, how you actually formulate a purpose-driven life, right? It's not, you know, once you get into the astrology pieces and things and, you know, you look up, oh, what's the second house? What's the fifth house? What's the eighth house? What's the 11th house? You will overlay those meanings with your chart. You get your chart done. And even if you don't have your birth time, right, you can get a solar chart done and use your first house, first whole sign house as your sun sign. That's fine too. Work with your houses. I'm just here to encourage you to do that because I don't believe anybody can tell you what your purpose is. I can't tell you what your purpose is. You have to be able to determine your purpose for yourself. And isn't it awesome that we have the tools to do that? We have these like snapshot blueprints from when we were born, whether it's a solar chart or it's your regular natal birth chart. We have all of the pieces right there to put together what our purpose is and how our life is going to take shape. We just have to spend a little bit of time with ourselves and study, become students of our higher nature. And the story kind of, it tells itself, it explains itself for paying attention. And so, yeah, this is just an encouragement for everybody listening. Encouragement also for myself, because I will absolutely be listening back to this as well. That when you're feeling lost, if you're feeling like your life doesn't have any meaning, it does. We just have to be curious enough to find it. And you just have to believe in ourselves long enough to start to demonstrate our values. Because our values are worth defending. They're worth creating a life around.
They're worth knowing.
They're worth knowing. And they're worth sharing. And this is one of the ways I demonstrate my values, is talking with you about this, you know, learning that I've done for myself and that I hope can help other people. And so if you know, feel like you were helped or you feel like this is a value, there's more where this came from, right? DowntoEarthAstrology.com. Check us out. There's more there. And until next time, we will see you in the next episode, I guess. Peace.
Bye.